The book of Jonah. As we look tonight in the book of Jonah, this book deals with the theme of God's mercy. And as we think on God's mercy, I can reflect back to a time when I received God's mercy when I didn't deserve it. His grace came away and got saved. Thank God for His grace and mercy and the peace that does follow all that. But as we look in Jonah, the key chapter of the book of Jonah is chapter 2. The key verse being verse 9, where it says, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." And if salvation is not of the Lord, there is no salvation. That's a key statement right there on the salvation of God, that if salvation is of us in any way, shape, or form, that we either make it happen or keep it, then we are of all men most miserable. Jesus didn't have to rise from the dead because y'all such good people, etc., on down the line. And this bunch, it claims that salvation is based on them. I wouldn't give you a nickel for what's going to happen to them right past eternity. Because one second after life, they're going to realize Jesus was everything and what we did was nothing.
That's right.
Four chapters in this book, 48 verses, 1,321 words, all inspired by God, preserved forever in our King James Bible at a 5.2 grade level. Very simple message tonight, very simple. And as this book was written by the Holy Spirit of God by inspiration in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, it was written by a man named Jonah, a very reluctant participant in the things of God, and I'll show you that tonight, written somewhere around the 8th century B.C. And, of course, as we look at the overall outline of the book, we're going to look at the book itself. So let's begin reading at chapter 1, verse 1. Where the Bible says this, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying," and before we get to the next verse, I want you to pay attention to something. It says the word of the Lord came to Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. God called this man. And now we know he's called to be a prophet, and chapter 1 deals with him as the playing prophet. He's a prophet that started playing with the things of God and playing with what he knew was right, and I'm going to show you what he tells him. And it came unto Jonah. Jonah's name means dove, by the way. Dove, like a dove. And it's odd that over in the New Testament, that word is spelled J-O-N-A and J-O-N-A-S, both in the same book. In John chapter 21, it's the same name. Jonah and Jonas is the same one. And to really give you a perspective of this, how that name shows up, John chapter 21, Jesus gets to a guy over there that's backslid on God. And he addresses him as Simon, son of Jonas. That ties right back to here. Peter knew what to do was right, and he didn't do it either. Guess what? He's having to make a whole circle and get right where he started. It's odd that that name shows up with Peter, but that's Peter's father's name was Jonah.
Wow.
Ain't that something? And as we look in here, the first occurrence of the phrase, "the word of the Lord," is God calling a man to let him know he's going to have a child through an impossible circumstance. Now God calls Jonah to a work that involved impossible circumstances. But as you know, in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, with God, all things are possible.
Right.
God's able to do all this and so much more. Here's the message in verse 2. "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it." This is what God calls every missionary, preacher, pastor, or evangelist to do, is preach against something as to get a result to get to somebody. If there's no preaching against anything, there will never be a preaching to go to somebody. If there's always preaching to go to somebody, you'll never know what to turn from to get away from it. God wants the man of God to tell these people what their transgressions are and show people their sins for one reason. It's not so he can be labeled as a tough preacher, but so that they can see that God wants them to tell them what to turn from and who to turn to. The second message is always the same. The turn to is always the Lord. The turn from, there's a lot of things to turn from, but in Nineveh's case in particular, he said, "Their wickedness has come up before me." I wonder if God sent a prophet to America right now, what the message would be. Wonder if it'd be the revival in Asbury, Kentucky, if that'd be the message he'd be preaching. Wonder if he'd say, "Well, there's unity amongst Christians now," if that'd be the message he would know. That he wouldn't be saying that at all. He'd be saying, "Listen, turn from your sins and start naming those sins off." He said, I don't know what they are, sins of Budweiser, sins of wine, sins of adultery. I mean, I keep going, there's so many tonight. If I preached on one, I'd be doing the rest of this service. There's so much going on right now. But just like all people, he said, rise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness, it said, has come up before me. Now, won't you watch Jonah here? But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish. If you have a Bible map in the back of your Bible, you'll find out that Tarshish is the exact opposite direction of Nineveh. I want you to go to Tarshish, so he goes the opposite way. Now, here's a very valuable lesson learned. If God tells you to go to someplace, don't run the other way. You won't outrun God. He says, go up to Tarshish from the presence. He said he rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down. You see, went down right there. Watch this. He went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. If I didn't know anything about what's fixing to happen, I see this. Every direction from God leads down. He went down from the presence of the Lord. He went away from the thing. Now he's going down into the ship. And you're going to find out he's going to go down into the hole. And in just a little while, you're going to see him thrown overboard. He's going to go down into the sea. And then when the whale gets him, he's going to go down to the bottom of the thing.
Right.
Over and over, it's going to show this. And I want you to notice that he paid the fare thereof. Every step away from God, you get the bill. God's so gracious, he says, you want to run for me? I'll let you pay the whole thing while you're out there learning. You listen, there's no student debt forgiveness with God. Ain't that something? You can go out in the school of hard knocks, guess what? You get to pay the tuition. In verse 4, I like this here. He says, but the Lord sent a great wind in the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. I like how the fact when we're going the wrong way, God interrupts our plans. God said, you know what? I intend for you to go this way, and the only way I'm going to get you to go this way is I'm going to send something your way that's going to bring an abrupt stop to where you're headed. That way you'll turn around and turn and do what's right. Thank God for that right there. Thank God that he knows that you and I, when we plan and messing with the things of God, he turns things around for us. And it says there that the Lord sent a great wind, verse 4 says, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship and the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down. See, there it is again, to the side of the ship. He lay and was fast asleep. Ain't it funny how the worst storm that has got a guy that's a worthy crew there of mariners there, they're worried about losing their ship, and the wind could literally break that thing in half, and old Backslid's down there in the bottom asleep. Ain't that something? You'll find out, verse 6 says, so the shipmaster came to him and said to him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Rise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. There are no atheists in foxholes. You'll observe that they were calling to their gods before, now they want him to call on his God. They don't realize his God's the whole problem. God told him to go somewhere else, and he didn't, so now his God's coming to get him. And it says, and they said everyone to his fellow, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Imagine that. They had a dice game right in the middle of all the thing, and Jonah lost. Now, ain't that something? It's bad when the world's game of chance is played on Jonah here. And Jonah being a type of Christ in a couple of ways. One thing is this, they cast lots upon Jesus as well. Now think about that. Then said they unto him, verse 8, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou, and what is thy country, and what people art thou? And he said to them, I am an Hebrew, I fear the Lord. Really? You fear the Lord? God told you to do something, and you did not do it and ran the opposite way. You ever notice this, that backslid people lie? They lie all the time. You say, I didn't think a Christian could lie. You lie, don't you? See, what do you mean, do I lie? You lie. Well, my favorite one's this. One person in your family gets sick, and it takes 5 grown adults to take care of that one person's runny nose. You lie. You lie. It's a hard pill to swallow. I know COVID kept some of you at the house. You got COVID. I understand that. But you didn't have it for 5 straight months. Or should I say 3 straight years now? What's happened to people? I'll tell you what it is. They're backslid and they're lying. Got too convenient to sit at home and scroll through Facebook and couldn't come to the house of God. What are they doing? They just keep going down. Now they're lying. I fear the Lord. Let the foxhole, listen, the foxhole ain't going to get crowded where somebody else is going to be in there with you crying out to their God. I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Now he's preaching truth in the middle of all this backslid. I know you're pre-tribulation rapture, and I know that you believe in all that, but ain't it funny how you don't go to church and tell people all that stuff? Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then said they unto him, now he couldn't figure out what was going on, but they figured it out. Then saying to them, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said to them, take me up and cast me forth in the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to try to bring it to land. What were they doing? They were going against the direct spoken will of God. Jonah did tell them the truth right there. If you throw me overboard, this whole thing will stop. And they said, oh, no. Listen, we know that this is, we know we got this Green New Deal, and we know this is happening, but we're going to keep on rowing these windmills, no matter how many whales they wind up killed on the shore. I wonder when the SPSA and all that crowd and PETA's going to start fighting that Green New Deal with all them whales drying up and dying over there on the shore. You talking about a conflict of interest? They're supposed to be on the same team. They fixing to fight. Odd, isn't it? Odd, isn't it, how the very thing that's supposed to save us is killing everything else? Interesting. He said, take me up and cast me forth. Nevertheless, the men rode hard in verse 13 to bring it to land. 13 is the number of rebellion in the Bible. What'd they do? We're going to show you, God. We're going to save this man. Since he's backslidden and going to be one of us, we're going to save him. But they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth in the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Imagine that. Listen, you throw the man out of the boat, and guess what? The whole thing clears up, and the clouds go away from the sky. I mean, the whole, in a second. You'd think Jonah could swim or help himself at this point, but here's what happened. Verse 16, so the men, it said, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. I've wondered for years, how did they know to do that? How did they know to do that right there? Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish three days and three nights. Now I'm going to point out something to you. This great fish, we would never know what that fish was if it wasn't for Matthew chapter 12, where our Lord and Savior, the creator of the universe, names that fish and calls it a whale. I want to ask you a question. A lot of people say, well, that couldn't be that because the whale's thing's only, his throat's only this big and maybe that big on a big whale. I got news for you. It said God prepared this fish back earlier in the chapter. We don't know what size this thing was, but whatever size it was, whether it had a handicap and had a big throat or whatever, a whale swallowed Jonah. You say, a whale's not a fish, it's a mammal. I got a question for you. Who told you that? I'll tell you who told you that. Somebody who don't believe in God, that thinks evolution got us here, that names us out as a species of something or other, and we're all men that used to be monkeys that used to hang by our tails, told you that the Bible's wrong and that wasn't a fish. Now, I got some identifying marks to give you about this fish, okay, and this whale. Can a whale live outside the water? The answer is no. Can the largemouth bass live outside of water? No. They both have one thing in common. You know what it is? They're both fish.
Yep.
Are you listening to me? I'm trying to help you tonight. See, God has given you the word, and these people have come along and tried to destroy the word out of your life, and you've got to get it in your head. You're going to believe God rather than men. Ain't that simple? I mean, that's simple stuff. Chapter 2, now that Jonah's good and backslid and thrown overboard, and he's got 3 days and three nights coming to him in the whale's belly. And by the way, I don't care who told you Jonah died during this time, he didn't. You know why I know that? The Bible didn't say he died. That's plain. He did not die. If he would have died, it said Jonah died, but it didn't say died.
Right.
He's in the whale's belly. So what was in there? The Ramada Inn, if God sought it to be so.
Yeah.
a dinner table fit for a king and everything else, if God wanted it in there. Now watch this. Chapter 2 deals with a praying prophet. Now all of a sudden Jonah turns from the playing prophet to the praying prophet. Verse 1 in chapter 2, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. I want you to notice how God knows what situation to put you in to get your prayer life back on track. For Jonah, it was a fish's belly. Wonder what it'd take for you to get back on track tonight. Verse 2. He said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardst my voice. I cried by reason of mine affliction. If we went through life painless, you know what we'd be? We'd be a sorry bunch of people. But every ache, every pain, every disease, and everything you have keeps you in touch with God. Don't ever look on your affliction as something that makes you less of a person or less of a Christian or anything like that. Look at it like this. It's something that God give you to keep you close to Him. And God knows what He's doing when He's handing out things. Don't ever think you got the short end of the straw. You didn't. God gave you the best thing ever. I mean, people used to look at me and Lisa, poor Greg and Lisa, poor Greg, got them handicapped children. Them handicapped children have kept us closer to God than anything else we've ever seen in our life, anything else in our Christian life, any kind of pain and suffering physically we've had, them children have kept us close to God. Thank God for them children. Now watch this. He said in verse 3, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves has passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. You know what Jonah missed? Jonah missed coming to church. I will look again towards thy holy temple. When you and I get backslid, we get in the mess and we get afflicted, you know what we miss? First things, going to the house of God.
Right.
He says, the waters come past me. He says, verse 5, even to the soul, the depths closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottom, there it is again, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. It says, and my prayer came unto thee and to thine holy temple. He says that they observe lying vanities, forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed, salvations of the Lord. Now Jonah's all of a sudden looking back to getting to church. All of a sudden he's getting his checkbook out. I mean, he's getting his tithe called up. He's doing everything he can. And he says, salvations of the Lord. And listen, thank God that people see that, hey, I need to get right with God. I want to make sure God gets his, because God is mine and I'm his.
Amen.
Now watch this. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon the dry land. I've always wondered about this. If maybe, you know how God's got a way of taking you and getting you, starting you back where you got away from him, Matt? If God didn't make that fish spit him up right where he boarded that boat at. Now you got to understand, he spent 3 days and three nights in something with acid all in his stomach. You want to talk about something? He's went from olive skin to, I mean, Joker white. White skin. White hair, Ric Flair white hair, white skin. All of a sudden we got this Jews coming into town. He's going to be preaching. He's coming in a white Jew, an albino Jew almost. His skin's been bleached out. His hair's been bleached out. God knows his clothes probably are bleached out by this point by all that stomach acid. And in chapter 3, verse 1 says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. We had the playing prophet in chapter 1. We had the praying prophet in chapter 2. But we get to chapter 3 and we got the preaching prophet showing up now. He's doing God's will now. It said he came to the Lord the second time. Ain't you glad God gave you that second chance? Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto thee this kind of preaching right here. The preaching I bid thee. God wants the preacher lock, stock, and barrel to preach whatever he wants him to preach, wherever he wants him to preach at. These gutless wonders that won't preach on anything, God never called you to start with.
Right.
If you ain't got a spine, God didn't put you in this. And I'm talking serious business here. You've got to be able to stand up and preach like thus saith the Lord, whether they're sitting there, whether they're on the front row, whether they're on the back row, or whether you're sitting in the funeral home with 15 sorry Bible-correcting preachers. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. And you know what you got to do? You got to stand up and say it. You got to stand up and say it, whether your crazy aunt's going to stand outside the tent or sit with her brother and sisters. Amen, friend. You got to be a man. This is a man of God. You got to be a man. If you are not a man, you won't last long in this. If you don't listen, if you don't have rhinoceros type skin, God will give you some. But listen to this. He said, the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days journey. I did a little research on the city of Nineveh, and what I understand, that phrase 3 days journey with Nineveh means if you started on one side of that city, it'd take you 3 days to walk across it. I mean, that's a good little brisk walk, not like we walk, like they walked. It'd take us 7 to 8 days. It'd take them 3 days, okay? So why you say that, preacher? That's so hurtful. Yeah, do away with your car week and tell me how hurtful I'm really being about this. I mean, we're talking, these people walk where they went. Unless you was rich and you had a chariot and you know. But I see that thing as a pretty good sized city there. I don't know exactly what you compare it to a modern city size, if it's as big as the cities over here, whatever. But it took 3 days to walk across it. And verse 4, though, gets down to this and says, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I want you to mark down that's an 8-word life-changing sermon right there. That's all he said. But he kept saying it over and over. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. No gimmick message. No Friday night I'll be preaching on American prophecy to draw a crowd. Just 8 words that God told him to say. And if God gives you the 8 words, that's the 8 words he wants. He don't want you to add to it, nor does he want you to take away from it. Amen. 8 words is all he needed. And you know what Jonah did? Jonah done been spit out of that whale's belly, got up there and just walked through there, all bleached out, all tore up looking, clothes all ragged looking, and said 8 words, and the whole city turned around. Watch what happened. Verse 5, the people of Nineveh believed God. You know what that's called? That's called revival. They believed God. You know what in America it would take for us to get real revival in America? Just to believe God. Just to believe God. Not rely on human reasoning. Not to rely on common sense. Just believe God. To kick out all our atheistic thoughts and all that and just believe God. It says they believed God and proclaimed the fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. From the mayor all the way down to the homeless guy, everybody was fasting. It says, for the word of the Lord came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe upon him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast nor flock, herd nor flock taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Now, ain't that something? God said, go do this. And when Jonah went and done it, God turned the whole city around. This is the largest amount of converts in one sermon you have ever seen in the Bible or will ever see in the Bible. Pentecost pales in comparison number-wise to this right here. Wouldn't you like to have been Jonah at this time? You just went and took 8 words and turned the whole 1.5 million people around. What a message. Only 8 words. He never read from a manuscript. I mean, he just preached right what thus saith the Lord was. But I'll give you this, them 8 words were inspired, inerrant, infallible words, and that's all he needed. Right. I noticed tonight that we get to chapter 4, we see another side of Jonah that's really sad to see. We've had the playing prophet in chapter 1, the praying prophet in chapter 2, the preaching prophet in chapter 3, and God did a great work. So now that leads us to the most unlikely of them, and that's the pouting prophet in chapter 4. This pouting prophet shows up, and it says in verse 1, chapter 4, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. How many preachers do you know that would preach and 1.5 million converts later to make them mad they got saved? We rejoice over one. Yeah. Imagine if we had 15 or 20 or 25 or 50 or 100, but he had 1.5 million, and he was mad about it. And he wasn't mad that it stopped at 1.5 million, he was mad that it got to 1.5 million. And it says, and he prayed unto the Lord. And here's the wrong kind of praying right here. Remember that thing about praying somebody, God smite him hip and thigh? How that ain't right. That's a prayer out of anger. And you don't want God answering your prayer about that, because he might answer their prayer about you. Just saying, pray for enemies don't mean pray God smite them. Now watch. And he prayed to the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, what was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Ah, it's a racist problem. I just remembered the Ninevites were all Gentiles. They weren't Jews. So racism takes a form in all this. How about that? You know what's funny is that nowadays when they say racism, they say it about everything. If you don't like what somebody does, you're racist automatically. That's not true. A racist is when you think your race is superior to them other races out there. That yours is the best one out of all of them. So who's like that? Every race on God's green earth is like that. Somebody told me, said, "We'll if we get rid of the problem of racism, we'll never get rid of it. That thing's been put here for a reason. It keeps people divided. Sin divides people. That's the way that thing's going to be till Jesus shows up. It's natural, embedded into these people. They don't even realize why it's there. You know who takes it out? According to Jesus, it says that middle wall of partition gets took out when he gets in control and he saves a sinner. How about that? By the way, God only recognizes three anyway, the Jew, the Gentile, and the church. Chew on that a while. But dealing back with Jonah here, it says, he says about this thing, he prayed the Lord, said, this not my thing, it was in my country. Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and great kindness, repentest thee of evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to live than to die. Wow, now he wants to commit suicide. Out of all the things he could have said right here, now Jonah gets to the point he wants to die. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth. Listen, when they go from east to west, that's God's direction. Guess which way he just went? He's backsliding again, that sorry rascal. And here's the thing. God's word to the backslider, he said, that doest thou well to be angry? In verse 4, and here's what God's reaction is to him in verse 6. And the Lord, it says, prepared a gourd. God knows how to deal with a backslider better than you and I do. Says, the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. If you're backslid and things turn around for you, beware of this one thing in the book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 3. It is the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. If you know you're not right with God and things are starting to come your way, and it's like, hey, I'm getting blessed here. I must be right. I'm getting blessed. I'm too blessed to be depressed and all this other business. And you ain't doing right. Guess what? God just prepared you a gourd. He's trying to get your attention through that gourd. But if you won't pay attention, look what happens to it. It says God, verse 7, it says, but God prepared a worm. May the worm come to get your gourd. It said, God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun, it says, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished himself to die and said, it's better for me to die than live. If you backslid, I hope you ain't bald like Jonah. That's the only person that would have bothered right there. People like didn't have no hair. All of a sudden that sun beating down on that head real bad and all of a sudden he's wanting to die again. God prepared a gourd, but God will prepare a worm for you gourd. Now look at verse 9. He's wanting to die again, and God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? Here's Jonah's reply to God. And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Can you imagine talking to God like that? 1.5 million converts of eight-word sermon that you didn't want to preach. You get over here and you're pouting about it, so God gives you a gourd to turn you around. All of a sudden you won't turn around. Now he gives you a worm to get rid of that gourd, and now you're saying, God, I want to die still. What a sad way to be. He said, then saith the Lord in verse 10, thou hast pity on the gourd for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein there are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle? God's message back to Jonah is, there's a lot of people down there, but look at all them children down there that you want dead. You ever seen a preacher so backslid he wants the kids to die? That's what Jonah was. Are you like Jonah tonight? God sent you a gourd. The worm's coming up in the morning. It's time to get our hearts right with God, because he knows all about us before we get there. He knows what's going on. He knows your every thought and deed. Get your heart right with God. Don't let him send a worm to take care of your gourd. Let your heart turn back to Jesus Christ while you still got the chance. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.